Hey everyone, this is Rachel Mooney.
This is Cindy.
This is Maggie.
And this is Andrea. And you're listening to Real Her Talk, houses, heels, and real estate deals.
Okay, so this is a true story. Maggie is not feeling good, had taken some medication, and she texts us and is like, oh my gosh, guys, I'm so sorry, I'm not going to make it. And I was like, it's okay, well, you know, we're good. And it won't be the first time, it would just be the three of us. But I'm like, oh, there's tons of people in the office today because it's team meeting day. I was like, I'll run around and find somebody. So I knock on their door and I'm like, hey, anybody want to be a guest on the podcast? And Alexa's like, well, when? I'm like, 60 seconds or so? And she's like,
I was like, what's the topic? She goes,
no, I said life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. No, so I was going to say, like, we have a little group chat. And what I put in there is, like, everything that's been going on because in our lives, because we haven't, like, we record now every other week, and then I was out of town, and before that I was sick, and it's, like, been just crazy.
A lot.
It's been a lot. And so I was like, all right, we're just going to catch up, because Rachel made me do a thing.
What did she make you do? What'd you make her do?
I'm going to let her tell you.
No, you say it.
I made her buy a car. Is that what you're talking about, that thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. I made her buy a car.
The Tesla?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I saw that. Why is it?
It was her fault, though. Oh.
It was. It's 100%, and it's because of the podcast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She dissed our Porsches.
Mm-hmm. She did.
I did. But, I mean, this drives very similar, don't you think?
Oh, it does.
It's very similar to the way the Porsche drives. Very.
Alexis is in your brain.
Well, Lorena is so much differently than me.
Here's the thing, is that, like, okay, so we've all owned Porsches, and don't worry, Maggie never had one, so she was over here like, this
boring
conversation.
Yeah.
And but Rachel's like, I'm saving so much money a month. And I'm like, so I call her later that night, and I'm like, it's fainted at me, because the Porsche maintenance and tires and all the things are so expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
And they're not expensive on the Tesla?
Mm-mm.
No.
There is no maintenance. I mean, you have tire maintenance, yes, like every 40,000 miles or so, but no brakes, no engine, nothing.
Why no brakes?
Because
go ahead.
Yeah, it accelerates and decelerates, or whatever that term is, like a golf cart. So you like raise your foot up off the gas and it starts to slow down for you. So the only time you really ever hit the brake is like in an emergency situation, or like the car in front of you is stopping way faster than what you predicted. And so, yeah. And then the battery life is 10-year battery life on it.
And so, like, you know, and the
warranty. The battery's like 20 grand?
I don't know. We will never keep a car
that
long.
Yeah, we'll never have it that long.
I keep a house, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, not
two and a half years max.
Yeah.
Like, it'll it'll be off to something else, I'm sure, by then.
Yeah. So here's the thing. I took it to Disney.
Oh, how did it go?
Okay,
I cannot wait to hear this.
First of all,
did you do the autopilot?
I used that auto drive the whole way there and back. Freaking amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it doesn't know where the roads are closed or the construction is.
Yes, she does. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She's linked to the satellite. She knows where everything is.
Yes.
And she maneuvers around cones, everything.
Mm-hmm. Mine actually saw a ghost the other day.
Did it?
Yes, it did, in Marietta. And if you Google, like, can a Tesla find
ghosts?
Yes. So because it's got all these cameras, and I was sitting at the middle of an intersection in Marietta the other day, and here comes a figure on my screen walking like there was somebody there. Nobody there. I was like, what? Yeah.
And okay, so that would creep me out.
It was a little creepy. And then at first I was like, well, that can't, like,
was this daytime or nighttime?
It was daytime. Ooh. And it was downtown Marietta, like historic area.
Yeah.
And a little figure walks right out there. So I had Olivia Google it, because I'm like, can Teslas, because I had heard this at some point, like, you know, it can capture everything. And there is a study where it captured ghosts in a cemetery, and it freaked the people out. So there's like a
no study. Kidding.
Yeah, I know, right? Right? So I kind of want to go through a cemetery and just see.
Rachel's like, I'm going to tour the cemeteries.
Go downtown, though. Go downtown to the oldest cemetery and try that.
Oh, or just drive around Lake Lanier.
That's true.
Oh, yeah. No. That's sadder. Because at least if you're at a cemetery, you know they're peaceful.
Yeah. I mean, they used to put bells on people's fingers for a reason.
What? I don't know this story.
Oh yeah.
What does that mean?
No, then
you tie a string. The bell was above the grave.
Yeah.
And the string was that you thread a string down to the person that's in the casket because they were not always what was it, the plague?
Yeah, it was the plague.
They weren't always dead.
They weren't always dead.
Yeah, because they could be in a coma, and then they had fears of this, and so they would tie a string, so then if you woke up, you could ring the bell.
Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm. Groom service.
I think it would be like dig me out service, but you know, kind of.
Like I would panic. I'd be like, ding, ding, ding. Like I would not, my finger would not stop. Yeah.
Now, not the finger.
Yeah. That is like a major fear of being, that's why I don't go in caves and stuff because.
You can come back as a French bulldog because they're manic like that too. I have a new puppy.
Or a Yorkie.
Yeah. I mean.
No. So, okay. So that went in a different direction.
Really. Yeah. Sorry, totally.
No, that's what the seed, this is the podcast. And you are worried. You were like, what in depth things are y'all talking about here?
Yeah.
And we're talking about real life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And ghosts.
And ghosts.
And ghosts.
And and history.
Yeah.
Okay.
See?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
I needed, I wanted to prepare and study. You can't prepare for that.
She did. And she came in with notes.
Yeah.
And I would have used a bad word because you can't.
You can't use bad words.
No, well, you can't.
Just
in case.
Ratings. Well, like you get rated.
We have to keep it on a higher level than.
Yes.
Oh, well, that should go.
No, you're stuck now. Why do you think I did let you sit in there so that I could lock your estate?
Yeah, you can't go anywhere now.
Yeah, so no, the autonomous driving, worth every penny because you pay extra for it. Mm-hmm. Totally worth it. I'm so obsessed with it.
So is it totally electric or is it hybrid?
No, it's totally electric.
So did you have to stop along the way?
Yeah, tell us about that. You plugged in the address of where we were going into Disney. And it gave you the points of where to stop and charge.
Yes. And because we got the high performance model, and by we, it's not just Seth and I, Rachel and I bought the same car.
It's a club.
It's a club.
Yeah, it's a club. Yep.
We stopped twice. If you had like the long range one, you'd only have to stop once, but it's worth it because we like to go faster. So it's fun. And it was 15 minutes at one stop and like 18 minutes at the other. And then when I got down to Orlando one morning, I got up and I went to a Tesla supercharger because I don't know how else to say this, but there's like peasant chargers. Mm-hmm. And that's what all the other chargers are.
Mm-hmm. Or it could be a just standard charger, not a peasant charger.
Standard charger.
Oh,
yeah.
No, it's peasant. Let me tell you the difference.
We know the difference.
So at Disney,
one didn't make you wait.
No, this is a true story. So the Tesla chargers like literally can go from 0 to like 220 miles in like 15 to 18 minutes, right? Mm-hmm. It's that fast. So I'm at Disney and they're like, okay, some of the resorts have EV chargers. I'm like, excellent. Mm-hmm. So we're at Riviera, which is one of the brand new ones, and they have them. I'm like, great. So I pull in, I back in, and you have to have this adapter that you plug in because it's the peasant charger. And then you plug it in 9.5 hours.
Mm. Oh, wow.
That's too slow.
I thought we were going to say like 3 to 4.
Mm. Right. No. So when I say peasant charger, we are talking the difference between I can go from a 0 to completely full charge on the Tesla superchargers. I think it was like 45 minutes because it auto slows down at the last little bit because it doesn't want to, it won't fry your batteries.
Uh-huh.
These were literally 9 to 9.5 hours, and I wasn't even on like E. And so I just left it plugged in literally and left it there all day long and had to go. I went and moved my car because I didn't want to take up a spot. But I was like, how do you charge off those?
I guess if you're going to work or whatever and you plug it in and then you're just
gone. Somebody that just, stays home and. Like, doesn't have to, you know what I mean?
Right.
Maybe they get there early.
But that should not be a resort. that should not be a resort charger.
No, but that's what all the normal, so like the one outside here, like that's what the normal chargers are. Because that's what most EVs take. And they're so slow. But Tesla's superchargers have like their own like little power station that's there. But we, what's interesting is all these businesses had them. So it was at Bucky's, had the supercharging.
So you could just go in and eat dinner and lunch and hang out.
Yes. And so the shopping centers have them, like all these places, because they want you to come in and shop and or do their whatever.
The thought of you at Bucky's just makes
I walked in, I got a barbecue sandwich, and I looked at Seth, and I was like, I'm going to have a legitimate panic attack.
I know,
I must
it's
leave.
A lot.
I can't imagine.
I've only been in once.
It was, I mean.
I love Bucky's.
I've only been once.
I love Bucky's.
My grandson
it's
loves
just fun
Bucky's.
For me.
No, if I didn't have such bad vertigo,
it's a lot.
It would be worth people watching alone.
Exactly.
It is a fascinating convergence of
society. I mean, because you can buy fishing poles and bathing suits and baby shower gifts and wedding gifts and camping gear and food for the day
and sushi
and
barbecue
basket and, you know.
And you can also buy entire beaver suits.
Yes, you can. Yes.
Do you want to know how I learned that?
What is that? Like a costume?
Yes.
Costume.
A full Bucky's beaver costume.
I was worried when you said beaver suit.
I was too. Button down, two button or three button?
Words.
It's true, Matt.
No words.
You could have done a one-man show.
We're just going to... Okay, you, I would expect that from. Rachel, I did not expect
that's
because
you
from.
Just don't know her well enough.
No. Wow.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. Why are we apologizing? That's life.
A whole new level. Mm-hmm.
See, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. Mm-hmm. That falls under pursuit of happiness.
Oh my God.
Yes, I found this out when my husband and his best friend and my son-in-law showed up in Asheville. No,
with them?
Yes. Where were we? We were at Grand Ole Opry in Nashville. Uh-huh. And they all three dressed in them to go through the ice cave. And I was like.
That would have been a sight.
Pictures.
Yes.
Pictures.
Oh, I have plenty of pictures.
Pictures.
No, they got tails and everything.
Oh my gosh. Oh, that is hilarious.
Go to that.
And so I am like, you have got, I mean, literally got to
the
kidding.
Oh, they put
the
hoods up too.
Oh yeah. This is them walking through the Grand Ole Opry.
That's hilarious.
And we'll see how many people are turning.
Oh no, we got so many pictures and people actually stopped them to get pictures with them.
Of course they did.
And I was like, y'all, this is too much.
We need to do that at family reunion for referrals. Don't you think? Like we could walk down the hall, picture referral, you know.
I love it.
Oh,
where you're at.
I am not bringing Seth in that outfit. I will let you borrow it.
Oh.
I'm thinking we can do it.
Rachel's like, everybody's in. I'm not in.
I'm thinking anybody that has joined in on the podcast, we go to family reunion in our costumes.
Oh.
I think we would need a certain amount of likes or a certain amount of like reviews or ratings or something to make that. We need like a contest to make that happen.
Couldn't we choose a costume? I have a tiara.
Yeah, maybe it should be beavers.
I'm
not sure that would be
appropriate. No, I think it should not be beavers.
No.
Nope.
I was thinking, maybe we can get mortgage loan officers male
to dress as princesses?
No.
Dress as a beaver.
Bucky.
They could dress as Bucky.
Mm.
But I don't
know. Is
I don't
that where the
should.
Beaver comes from? Is the Bucky
yes.
beaver?
Yes. Beaver.
Yeah. I got it now. Okay. I am like way slow today. I did not
she
put
would
that
not
together.
No,
I
you're just like, what is happening?
Yeah.
It's their logo.
I got
it's the
it
little
now.
Bucky beaver.
Yeah. I did not put it
with
together.
Little red cap.
Yes. Yeah. And so that's where they got their little their little thing. So if you're listening on the podcast, I highly encourage you to go onto YouTube and we will post the video of Seth and Steven and Anthony walking around in Bucky the Beaver costumes.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
That was funny.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's surprising that there weren't more people turning around at the Opryland. So that, you know what that tells you? Bucky the Beaver is a very common thing in Tennessee. Mm-hmm.
That's fair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do think you are onto something, although I will say that was like right off the elevator. So as we get farther in, there's
a lot more stairs.
There's a lot more stairs. There's a lot more turning around. And then there's me going, oh my God, I'm not with these humans.
Yeah.
But you're videoing.
Yeah.
Well, yes, because.
To be fair. But that looks like everybody else is going, oh my God, did y'all see that?
Right.
Yeah.
That. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So have you been auto driving at all?
We auto drived on Saturday night. No, Sunday night.
How was it?
From Gainesville. It was good. But so Shane was driving or auto drive. I was in the passenger seat and we were going through Gainesville and it only goes the speed limit, you know, 35 to
45. No, you can adjust that.
Okay. We were going the speed limit.
Oh Lord, no, I would have died.
It drove him bananas. So he took it off. He was like, okay, I gotta go back faster than 45.
Oh no. Yeah. You
don't. So you just go in and plug it. I haven't played with it like you have. I gotta.
Oh, I have it on aggressive, so it won't stay behind slow people. I have it like to where it
does the horn honk at people?
No, it doesn't need to. It just
no, but it changes lanes and everything. Uh-huh. Like if somebody's slowing down in front of you, like it'll put its blinker on and move, and it's crazy.
I can't. You know what? Nobody even blinks an eye when you say you have it on aggressive mode.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
I'm just pointing out these.
I need to know how to do that because ours was just staying on speed limit and that's driving him nuts.
Oh no. And then if you want to go even faster than what you have it preset to, like mm-hmm. you're then you can go faster and then hit it again. Okay. And it's almost like cruise control. It'll keep that speed.
Okay. That's cool.
Yeah.
She's been practicing.
Yes, yeah. I have. Because yeah. I can't go slow.
No, we know that.
And you use it though. Don't you use it every day to come to work and stuff? Or you
so work? I'm too antsy to come to work with it. Cause like I'm like ready to go, but yeah. Driving home in traffic and stuff, yeah, I'm like, I just turn her on.
I can't.
You say that.
I don't see me ever. I am so. I don't like when other people drive. Period.
No, I don't like when other people drive.
I can't imagine relinquishing control. I just.
Well, I mean, you can take control at any time. Mm-hmm. Like you just grab the steering wheel and do like mm-hmm. you take it back.
Yeah.
You watch the road.
Although I did pass a kid yesterday and he was going, oh my God, he was going so slow. So I know, and he was not in a Tesla. Yeah. so he was not self-driving. He's just driving slowly with his knees, looking at his phone.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Looking at his phone. I went by him and laid on the horn. Yeah.
I did. Yeah.
Because he was going like 37 in a 45.
Oh, see, and my problem is like in the mornings, if I'm coming into the office, I usually leave between like 6:45, 7 o'clock. So like I want to be here.
Yeah.
We're not out for a Sunday drive.
No.
It kills me when somebody is like driving 5 below on the speed limit. I'm just like, mm-mm. That is like a rage.
You don't want to live in Canton or Cherokee.
Yeah, they're slower over there.
Yeah. Yeah. Very methodical.
Mm-hmm. And you don't go the speed limit in the left lane. You don't. I'm sorry. You don't even just go 5 over. The left lane is for people that have ticket money.
Yeah. Thank you. That is the correct TikTok reference. And yes, it is.
Yeah.
You got ticket money, you're in the left lane. Otherwise, get out.
Yeah.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or for people that think they have ticket money.
Well, that's what he said. Yeah, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll own it. Mm-hmm. I will totally own it because I am 70 miles an hour. I'm going 85.
Yeah.
Well, I know usually which threshold because I've never had a speeding ticket in my entire life.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to get my real estate license. I got on my birthday. Jenna and I, we're taking tests in the car. I mean, I'm paying attention to where I'm going, but I'm focusing, you know, and your anxiety is builds. And so you know, and I was passing somebody and we were on 95 and heading down to Savannah and I saw him. I was like, I'm getting a ticket. She goes, no, you're not. No, you're not. Just get all the way over. I was like, nope, I'm getting a ticket. Sure enough, I get pulled over and he comes walking up to the car. This is when I had the escape. And it's a state trooper and he's got his hat on and everything. And he gets up to the car. He's really sweet. Looks at my license and goes, oh, it's your birthday. Yep, it's my birthday.
You were hoping.
be back in just a minute.
Oh.
Mm. He walks back and I was like, maybe he's just going to give me a warning. Maybe. I mean, we've got the computer out. We're taking a test. He asked. We told him what we were doing on our way to take our state test, get our real estate license. And we were really focusing on the questions and just was a little anxious. And he comes back up and he hands me a ticket. I was like, you gave me a ticket? It's my birthday and it's a special day. He goes, I gave you a gift. And I said, this is not the gift I wanted. And he said, well, I can give you the other one. And I said, what's the other one? Not a
distracted
ticket.
Right.
And no, super speeder.
Oh, he did give you a gift.
I said, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
My bad.
Mm-hmm. That super speeder is no joke.
So, mm-hmm. So he gave me a gift. So yeah.
Oh, that's not terrible.
No,
yeah.
That wasn't terrible. I would have preferred no ticket.
I've never even pulled over for speeding though.
You are just,
wow, you're lucky.
You're just,
no, I am.
Karma. You're just
no,
testing
it
karma.
Is not, I'll tell you why. I do speed, but it is very strategic. It is exceptionally strategic. I will not speed.
I know where, not, I do say I do know where not to speed.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and if you're going to go through, like, you were, like, in the.
And I knew not to speed there.
I was going to say there, like, they hunt there. But no, I just, like, I won't speed. I won't go over 8 miles an hour on an expressway unless it's a bird dog. What's a bird dog? Is that what that looks for?
Mm-hmm.
Bird dog is somebody that is going ahead of you. So I always will find somebody going faster. And I've always got my ways on. And, like, if I even see that there could be a police officer, like, you'll see sometimes it'll be, like, the pop up,
yeah.
I'll hit my brakes and I'm going slow for the next 5 to 8 miles.
Mm-hmm.
But no, so I'm very strategic. I won't.
I get caught.
That's my daddy taught me that.
Bird dog.
Yeah. Because he traveled the Southeast region. So he was always in the car and he would always say that. You got to find the one. And then you just follow right behind that one because you will never get pulled over. They will always get pulled over.
Always. Mm-hmm. Because they can't.
And don't stop. If you're following somebody, I was leading the way. I took the hit for the team. We were coming home from the beach. She went ahead and pulled over too. I'm like, why did you do that? He pulled me over.
Mm.
Now he got a twofer.
Oh.
Why did you pull over? I said, you could have just gone 5 miles down the road and pulled off and waited for me.
Mm-hmm.
But no, you pull over. So he gave you a ticket too.
Oh no.
Like, and I'm not paying your ticket for you.
No, and I would have asked to see the radar on that because he couldn't have radared her.
Oh no, we were paced. It was coming out of South Carolina, getting on. I mean, we're backing out. We're coming from the beach and you've got unmarked cars that were slowing everybody down on purpose. So at the point where you get off the main road and the traffic and you're coming on to be able to get on a semi-highway, you're ready to open up and go. So you do.
And they're sitting there.
Yeah, they're sitting right there.
Mm.
Yeah, it was totally a trap. Totally a trap. Because the unmarked car got off and took a U-turn and went back to start it all over again.
Oh, I wonder how many cars they got that day.
Well, now I don't know if y'all have noticed, but coming home from Florida, I was seeing them parked up on top of bridges on the overpasses.
I've seen that too.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a warning. Slow your ass down and be looking because they're there.
They're there. And now Georgia.
And they're clocking you.
They're clocking you. And then they have people up there to pull you over. And then the other one is Georgia has now got drones.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Heard about that. Yep.
Mm. Yeah. So I'm always like.
Yeah, looking around. Yeah.
Back to distracted driving.
Mm-hmm. No,
but
the car's driving.
That, yeah.
So we're good.
Maybe it should get the ticket.
Mm-hmm.
This is going off on another subject.
I like it. Approved. Go.
So we may have to meet.
No.
But.
We're good.
Could you do self-driving and have a few drinks of alcohol and it wouldn't matter because you're
technically no.
Oh.
Because you're still responsible and you have to be aware. Now. I have heard of other people that have done that,
mm-hmm.
not getting pulled over, but just get in and let it drive and then like set their thresholds to like, and so it is going to get you home and obey all the traffic laws.
Right.
So
yeah,
it's better than, but no, technically you're in charge of vehicles.
Yeah.
So
that makes sense.
So it's still
just curious.
No, no, I asked
you
that
know,
question
I like
too.
I wondered about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Could that be?
Inquiring minds.
Yeah. We were just curious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
And you know, have you tried, so if you as you're parking, have you seen the little P come up on the parking spot?
Mm-hmm.
If you click the P, it parks itself in that parking space.
I did not know that. See, she's already knowing way. I need to.
She has investigated all the things.
All the
things.
I
was like, what? Because it came up, it popped up and turned white, and then it had a little P, and it was. Mm-hmm. I was like, well, what does that do? So I pushed the button. I'm just not afraid of pushing buttons. I'm like,
yeah.
What's the worst that's going to happen?
Yeah.
It ejects you out of the car.
Wreck the car.
But it'll,
I mean, if
but
it
it'll put a parachute on you
right.
as you go
as
up.
As you're going out. Yeah.
Yeah. And I did buy the garage door thing. Did you buy
mm-hmm.
that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So now it knows when you get within a certain amount of feet of your house, it auto opens it. It knows when I'm backing, that I'm close enough to the house, I'm backing in. So it puts my mirrors in for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I'm in, it closes the garage doors.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Yeah. It is by far one of my favorite cars. It is my favorite car I think I've ever owned. Besides the Porsche.
Because it's got so many gadgets and
it's
toys.
It's so cool.
No, and I bought all this custom stuff too.
Of course you did.
I went nuts. Well, I needed storage. It has
yeah.
so many stores, so you need organizers
you need
for the
organizers.
Storage stuff. Because there's no engines, there's no powertrains and stuff.
Yeah, so you have so much storage.
Yeah, so I needed organizers.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
And you have a frunk.
Yeah, which is so cool.
Where?
Like the Volkswagen used to be.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but you also have the trunk, and then you have a trunk in the trunk.
Mm-hmm. That's to hide all the dead bodies.
Fair. I don't know. You couldn't put a big one.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. No.
No.
Mm-mm. What'd you say?
Cut him up.
So I started watching a show last night called How Not to Bury a Body. It's all these people who got caught.
Oh my God.
What was that on?
It was on Discovery.
Oh my word. That's
How Not to Bury
like,
a Body.
It was
that's so funny.
It's so funny.
Gotta learn somewhere.
Yeah. How not to do it. You're gonna get caught.
I cannot go home and tell my husband this. Go.
Oh my gosh.
Well, I mean, come on. You know, the highest consumer of murder podcasts is females.
It's true.
And men should be worried about that.
I have a few that I listen to, so true.
If they're taking notes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, we take mental notes.
Mm-hmm. At 70, it only works for like 10 minutes.
You're like, yeah, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I was doing. I was auto driving all over Disney and figuring out the Tesla and
mm-hmm.
everything else. So what were y'all up to the last 2 weeks?
I love that.
I'm sure I knew, but no.
No, you've just derailed,
yeah.
So we don't know.
We are
yeah.
so far off. We are so far off.
No. Well.
Okay, so I have and it is a real estate question. I am, and I don't think they watch the podcast, so it doesn't matter. Listen, I have neighbors in my neighborhood, and I'm trying to cultivate more in my neighborhood. So I haven't really farmed it. There have always been agents in my neighborhood and been there forever. They're not really hitting the neighborhood anymore. The other two that are in the neighborhood are moving, and they're letting go of a lot of stuff that they did in the neighborhood. They are also KW agents. But I've noticed some other agents popping up. And there is a specific house that I know very well, and I did not get the listing. It was overpriced. It's now dropped in price. I have, of course, they're on my mail and my auto mailers. So they get my things. My other neighbor has approached them and asked how they're doing. And they're not getting a lot of traffic. They're not getting a lot of showings. And I know I cannot directly market to this house, you know, because we don't steal other people's listings.
No, so
but
you
how do I advertise myself?
No. So hold on a second. So let me tell you a really common misconception here, because I serve on the code of ethics, like for the grievance panel, for the like the different panels that decide if. Like what is going to happen,
uh-huh.
right? And a really common misconception is that you cannot talk to somebody if the house is listed. That's not true.
Okay.
So you can talk about your services for when their listing agreement expires. You can never induce somebody to terminate a brokerage contract, whether it's a BVA or a listing agreement or anything like that. Mm-hmm. However, you most definitely can talk to the person, continue to follow up, and not give them advice. That's where a lot of people go wrong. It's like, well, if I had your listing, this is what I would do instead of what they're doing. No, no, no. You cannot do that, because then you're giving advice and that's just totally, that is a different line. But you can explain what your value proposition is, and you cannot reference what the other person is doing. You mm-hmm. can't like be like, okay, your pictures are crap. So yeah. And that's usually where you start. Mm-hmm. But
it's a great house. I mean, I know everything about this house because I knew the previous owners.
Right. But you can most definitely continue to follow up and say, when that agreement expires, here's what I would like to present as, you know, I'd like the opportunity to earn your business at that point. And here are some of the things that differentiate me from other agents.
Okay.
And that is such a common misconception.
It's been on the market. I mean, houses don't stay on the market in my neighborhood. I mean, 15 days is a long time in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
And this is, we're working on over 60, I think.
So they started wildly high priced.
And it wasn't that it was that wildly high priced. It really wasn't.
Yeah, but if
it was overpriced.
Overpriced.
And he should not have priced it that high.
Overpriced in this market is wildly overpriced.
Yeah, so
$5,000 at this point is wildly overpriced.
I mean, it's a great house. It is. It's a great house. It needs some TLC, but it's a great house.
Yeah. So talk to him about what you do that's different. And like, because we have people out here that are in, like, that are listening that are real estate specific and that aren't. And A, not every agent is created equal. B, that there aren't, like, people blur the lines of what actually is ethical versus what's not ethical, and they're not reading the code of ethics to find out what those things are. And then there's a difference between license law and code of ethics. And so those two things, like, because if you break the code of ethics, then it can be education, it can be fines. And if you don't do that, then they can get more severe, you can lose your membership, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But it takes a minute to get there. Now, license law, that's when the real estate commission comes in and investigates, but they don't touch on code of ethics stuff. Like, license law is, you know, mishandling funds, misleading the public. They're really worried about protecting the public from stuff, as opposed to an agent talking to another agent's client. They're never going to get involved in that. That's code of ethics. But it depends what you say. And it's not a breach of ethics to continue to follow up with somebody that is in a active listing agreement. It's just that you cannot solicit them to terminate those brokerage agreements.
Gotcha.
But I love that
question.
I
think they're being unrepresented right now. Underrepresented, let me rephrase that.
Yeah. Which we see a lot. Unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that was, thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate that.
That's one of my favorite questions when I get asked that. Because most agents are not clear on that.
Cool.
Because somebody will be like, they talk to my client. I'll be like, okay. What'd they say?
Yeah.
And do you have proof?
Yeah. What did they say? That's always what they say. What did they say?
What did they say?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do have something to share. So the last 2 weeks, I made a decision to step away from MAPS coaching.
Really?
So by the time this airs, I will have been done with that. I love coaching. I love training. I love all that. I do not love sitting in front of a computer on Zoom. I have learned that about myself. And I only have 9 clients. I've had a few more here and there, but in order to do really well at that, you need to be carrying 20 or 30. I would lose my mind. And I had a very real conversation with my MAPS coach. I was like, I love y'all, but this is like being a bank teller. Like, I cannot do this.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's what I've been doing over the last 2 weeks. I will be fully transitioned out as of the end of next week. Maybe the beginning of the following week, somewhere right in the middle of October. But I am super excited because now I know that It, obviously, it was something that I went through for 2 years, and as far as like getting to the point where I was. So there was a lot of training and education and stuff that I've learned. But I'm really excited about being 100% back on sales. Like, so excited about that.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Good for you.
Yeah. I'm super excited about that.
I don't blame you. I've been approached more times than I can count about being a coach. And I'm like, I can't.
Yeah. I said, if I could coach while I'm like in the car or driving or doing other things, but to sit on a camera on a Zoom call all day long with multiple people, I just, it got to the point where like Sunday night, I was like, oh.
Yeah, you're dreading it.
I got to do this again tomorrow.
Oh, like, no.
You know, it's like, okay, that is not my personality.
You need to go from got to get to.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love working with buyers and sellers. I love running a team. I love the difference in the pace of the day. I am not a sit at home or in the office doing.
Well, good.
I just learned that. Good. Yeah. Yeah. So that's what I've been up to.
That's a big one.
Yeah. It's a huge one because now I'm like, obviously y'all, I'm having to redefine, like I have zero help on the admin side. And so now I'm like struggling a little bit because Olivia's full-time in her position. She's still able to like help pick up stuff like inner listings and things like that. But I really need to have somebody that's going to be able to dedicate as much time as I need to help move things forward.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Congratulations.
So, thank you. I'm really excited about that.
I love it. Well, because that's so cool because you got to get all of that knowledge, and that is so much good stuff.
So much. And I will probably, that's what I even told my coach. I said, I will probably stay in contact with all those agents, and just every one of them have 10x'd their business since they've been coaching. So we've gotten them in good spots, right? And I want to continue to watch them grow, but I can't be the one sitting in front of the computer with them.
Maybe just a mentor to things that comes up.
Yes. Yeah. I could totally do that. I could totally, they could call at any moment, questions.
Yeah.
Brainstorm. How do I do? What are your thoughts? But so that's what I have learned about myself is I am not good in front of I have to have a crazy life. I have to have a crazy schedule. I have to, you know,
diversity.
I have to have diversity.
It gives you energy.
It does. It does.
Maybe more podcasts.
Maybe more podcasts. My YouTube channel is changing. We've started that about 3 weeks ago. The content of it is completely changing. So I've got some fun stuff that I'm doing.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So be more creative.
I could see you more as a bold coach.
I could probably do that. As a matter of fact, when I was at Mega Camp, they even introduced me as like the bold coaches together were like, hey, this is the new bold coach. I could totally get down with that. And that may be a direction I go. I don't know. I haven't given it much thought.
So for everybody listening, a bold coach travels and goes to different places and teaches one day a week in a different location. Usually the most amount of days is 4, but you have a little more control over your schedule, and there's 4 launches a year. But I could see that more than,
And is a bold coach on Zoom or they're with
they're
people
in
person?
Okay, that would be the, yeah.
Yeah. I think I would get more energy from that. I would be more than just what
I wouldn't
I'm doing
like
currently.
To be on. I don't like to be on TV. I don't like pictures taken, but I'll sit in front of you and just chat all day long.
Oh, yeah. My coach, like if you look at my coach and his partner's schedule, it is like 30-minute increments almost all day long, then planning time, masterminding time, and then back to 30-minute. And I'm like, I would have a hard time with that, but it's what they love to do. It's their passion and it comes across. I love coaching with them, but it's not something I could do.
Yeah. They have to, it's very regimented. And then because you're East Coast, West Coast, like you might have something that's starting at 7:30 in the morning and you might be sitting on a Zoom call at 7 o'clock at night or 8 o'clock at night, depending on where your client is. So it can be very long days. So I'm pretty stoked.
I remember that's those awesome. From the law firm. So
no.
That's why I got into this side of it.
Yeah.
The flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
Good job for like figuring it out and just
saying. Thank you. That's one thing I've learned about I am not scared of change and I am not scared of taking a risk and figuring out. Like I just move. Like Like, I just move. Yeah. I just constantly, I want, if it's something that doesn't feel good, I am okay with like moving and changing. And
well, because no matter what, you learn something from it.
Always, always.
Like, it never, I like change.
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't. That's not.
No. I love it too.
I like it. Having a friend who likes change.
See, I love it too.
Yeah.
I'm not scared of it
because
at all.
I'm fine just in my lane. Mm-hmm. But
no, I'm like, if I'm going to get bored, I'll go stir the pot. I'll go poke
mm-hmm.
something.
I'll blow it up. I usually blow it up. If I get bored, I blow it up to figure out if I can do it again.
Mm-hmm.
And that, for that Saboteur's Assessment, if y'all ever read that PQ book.
Mm-mm.
Oh, that's another great one. We've got to talk. We have to have like a full-on thing about this book. But it's, so there's 8 saboteurs that everybody has. I think it's 8 in their personalities. And my number one is hyperachiever and a pleaser. And a hyperachiever blows things up because we get fulfillment at about hitting a goal and then blowing it up and then hitting another goal and blowing it up. And so that's, I love to do that. Like if I knew, like hit MREA status, okay, I'm good. I hit that. Like I can, let me do something else. Now I'm coach. Okay, now good. I can do something else. I like, I've always been that way. That's how I function.
Yeah.
Which is probably not, it's not good at times either because there's no consistency. That person also, when I lead people, I will run in and go, hey, let's do this. Let's change it. And then I'll have you on your way to go changing something. And then the next day I'll run in and go, hey, let's do this instead of this, you know, so you can,
your
get a little
staff,
too much.
Your admin probably pays for that.
Yes.
Here's the best advice I got for that because I may or may not identify with that a lot. Is that Brian Fair is one who gave me great advice with that because he had Michelle Still with him all the time. And he and her worked together so well because she would come back to him and be like, hey, yesterday you gave me this, the day before you gave me this. What is priority right now?
Mm-hmm.
And then, but it would be like 3 or 4 or 5 things. And then he would be like, oh yeah, 4 chunk. We're not doing that. This is not a priority. Right. And so like having that other person that can help you, like,
that's exactly right.
And isn't afraid that you're going to get irritated mm-hmm. if you come and ask questions and like, hold on a second, because I just,
somebody who can balance
that
you.
Admin has to run you.
But you have to have that admin because if not, you're telling her it's the priority and him it's a priority and now they're all
the
right hand
you have chaos going on
and so what I do is I like to when I get bored I just take on more stuff. So as of the podcast will be by the time this airs it's public is I took over the Atlanta Partners real estate school.
Yay,
so
awesome.
I'm excited.
Do we need a teacher? Can I teach a class or two?
But you can teach all the classes.
Well, I don't want to do all of them.
Yes, we need a teacher.
But I would like to say that the Atlanta Partners Real Estate School needs a cram course.
Oh,
I have an agent that I have she's not an agent yet.
We have a cram course.
We do have a cram course?
We just probably didn't know about it. Did we just not know about it?
Or is it coming?
Because I've asked about it before told we didn't have one.
Yes, because there's been some fascinating things that we have. Listen, here's what happened. There's no judgment around this. It is that there was a really good admin who ran things the exact same way for long, 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 long time and never changed anything. So it was very, there was no automation happening.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's just so many, like there's a spreadsheet over here and then this spreadsheet tells you this and this spreadsheet does this and the website is from 1910 and it's this and it's that. So like just automating everything and making it like streamlined is really what we're coming in. And so when my bad habit is if something irritates me, I will either just start my own thing or just go take over something. Cause if I'm going to fix it, cause I have to fix it, then I might as well just fix it for everybody. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, can I do that? Please, 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 please. And then I had this other brilliant idea that there's not like a ton of training for our role specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And by a ton,
you mean any?
I'm trying to be very PC and that is, mm-hmm, there's theory. We're really good at teaching team leader theory. We are great at teaching agents step by step. Like we have so many playbooks and we have so many like step by step things.
Fair.
Have it on
There's nothing like that for a team leader.
Yeah.
Of any kind. So like you are dropped in to run a real estate franchise multi-million dollar business, pat it on the head and said, hope you figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And on along the way, we're going to hold you accountable every single week to make sure you hit these goals.
Yes.
With no direction.
With no direction.
Yeah.
Go call people.
Yeah. Make relationships with the co-oping agents.
Yeah. And they're like, and you're like, wait, what am I doing? And so like so it takes any team leader at least 18 months to 24 months to even figure out what the job is. Most team leaders only make it 18 to 24 months. That's it. Because it's just such a big job.
And they go, no.
Yeah. And it's just, it's a really big job. And now I'm 9.5 years in. And so like, I want to teach other people how to succeed in this and not just teach theory so they walk out with a book. Like, so, you know, it's like a weekly, it's Mondays for 2 hours and then Friday for an hour. And that's it. And it's like, here's what you're going to learn. Here's what you're going to execute. Go do it. Friday's recap.
Yeah.
So yeah, so I went and I'm like, hey, let's do that too.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
Yeah. So I'm like, yeah, let's just color and see what happens. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
So the cram course we have is the cram course for the state test, right?
Let's circle back to that on offline.
Okay. Good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Even better, go talk to Renee. She's my director of ops for the real estate school.
There you go.
That is one thing. And you are the same way as Gary Keller tells you this, is like, don't own any business by yourself.
Mm-mm.
Partnerships.
Well, you are really good at delegating. Mm-hmm. I'll give you that. You're very good at
delegating. And holding people accountable. That's the other thing. You can delegate all day long, but if you don't come around and either coach them up or point out what's not working, then why do it? I mean,
Katie said something really insightful to me the other day. She said, and I think this is true of all of us, is that she said that I have the expectation of our whole leadership staff to be as passionate about what they do as what I, like how I show up as passionate around it, that's the expectation I have for everybody.
Yes.
And it's not that I expect anybody to work like obscene hours or do ridiculous things, but you have to care. You have to care to be here.
Yeah. Yeah. There's that book that I read and I'm drawing a blank of it.
Is it, I Don't Just Work Here?
No. I think Maggie read it too. We both read it at the beginning of the year or the end of last year. I was looking to see if it was on your,
So how many books do you read?
A lot. I mean, not a lot. I think.
Well, no, it sounds like a lot.
Well, not many. I mean, maybe like six or I don't read that many, like 6 or 7 a year. I don't do monthly.
Okay.
I try. I have tried many of times to do monthly and I don't, I get distracted.
You should have my coach for when you're doing 30, 60, 90, you have to read 2 books a week.
Yeah. I have done that. I have done, groups where we had, studied where we had to do 1 to 2 a month. And that was a lot. But it was the year that I did that, it was a powerful growing year.
Yeah.
Like I learned so much about myself. I learned so much about other things. In coaching though, you do read a lot. Like there was multiple books. I don't know this one.
That one was fantastic.
Okay. Can I borrow this one? Have you read it yet?
I've read it. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
I listened to it on Audible. So that's why my book is not creased, but yeah. Please.
Yeah, all right. I'm gonna read
it. This is so good because it's all about how to, like, people's purpose and showing up and what anchors them in places.
Yeah.
Because it's rarely, yes, we all come to work for money, mm-hmm. but you want to make sure that when people show up, that they're showing up with the passion and the care. And because that, especially for all of us, we're in a consumer-based mm-hmm. business. And if you don't care, and you don't have a team around you that cares, you're going to go out of business. You're only as good as your weakest link.
Yeah. I feel like that book was Circle Something or Other. It was to that same premise, though, where like
Was that at that John Maxwell one? Was that 2 or 3 years ago?
It may have been. It may have been.
Because he had the circles of like the different ways people work and stuff.
Yeah. And then you can, it's about getting the max you can out of each team player.
Oh, this
and helping them self-discover like what it is that they love, the circle Love and Work?
Love Plus Work. Oh. I have all the books.
She's all the things.
She does. I'm sure it's upstairs. I'm certain. Yeah. But I'm going to read this one. But anyway, I forgot how we just went down that hole. What were we going to say about?
Oh, welcome to my world, Rachel.
I know.
I don't know. No, here's the thing, though, with books is that what I will say is Rachel reads a lot. I try to read quite a bit.
You listen to a lot of books?
I listen to a lot of books more so, but that's how you – because staying learning based, like obsessively, like
always learning,
always learning.
Yeah,
my job is always learning. It's always changing. Though I don't get to do as much of that because I'm reading guidelines.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Like you're,
and you did tell me you wake up really early and read.
Yes,
guidelines.
Like, I wake up last and read week, my meditation.
No, last week I was up 3 days at 3 o'clock in the morning and 2 days at 4.
Nope.
I was up last night at 3.
That's why you do what you do, and I now do what I do.
I know.
Is it like one of those things, like you can't sleep, and so that's how you go back to sleep? Or is it just that that was...
But if my head is... If I'm doing work in my head at 2:30, I'm not going to go back to sleep. So it's always the thought that if you get up, and you do some of these things, then if you get tired, you can go back.
Perhaps you can turn your brain back off.
Yeah. I'm just trying to turn my brain back off. And but then after a while, you go, okay, I'll have a cup of tea or a cup of coffee. The puppy comes with me. If I'm out of bed, the puppy's out of bed. And so, you know, then it's a different environment and I'm not as stressed and I get some work done and then I kind of have my own hour, so at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I would say I'm tapping out, then I'll go home and
be done.
Yeah, take a nap.
Yeah.
So that's just the way my brain. It's hard to shut it off.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I get that.
And
too.
Now, because now the job is transitioning to possibly more refinances than purchase. And when you start thinking about it, well, when's the last time you really did refinances? Now, the whole thing at work is trying to get everybody either on board because they're young and they've never done a refinance, or remembering everything you have to know about not overpromising and under-delivering. And if it's this, you've got to do 6 other things, and if you got mortgage insurance, do they get a refund back on it? If it, you know, so that's and that's why they make wine in the evening.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. And I'm being nice because I really mean bourbon.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Oh, so you know what Seth had in Disney? You will appreciate this.
No.
We went to this new restaurant, and they had Blanton's.
You know what? Oh, you want to hear a story? Seth's going to be so upset. So we go to Indiana a lot. My mother-in-law is 93, 94 years old. And in Indiana, you can buy alcohol in the grocery stores.
Right.
You mean like hard liquor?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I'm talking about. So well,
the South is pretty much everywhere else in the country. For the most part, you can buy it in grocery stores.
So we go and it's literally so much less expensive than it is here. In, I mean, like $20 to $25 less.
Wow.
And so right next to the nursing facility that my mother-in-law is the Kroger's. So we go in there and bop in to get snacks and stuff for her. And we go through the liquor. And my husband, and I was buying a gift for my mother-in-law flowers, and some little guy comes up and says, "What you doing?" He says, I'm looking, we don't get to do this in Georgia. He says, "Well, what are you looking for?" And he says, "Oh, I don't know why." He says, "Come with me. Wait till you see what I have more stuff in the storage area
in the back room."
Guess what he got to buy? Blanton's. And it was so cheap. And it was because they can have, somebody can order something that if it comes in, and so this individual had ordered it, but they have 48 hours to pick it up. And if they don't pick it up and pay for it in 48 hours, then it goes to whoever wants it.
Wow.
And so, and my brother-in-law kind of, there's a little competition between my husband, comes in and finds out he's doing this. So my husband just said yesterday, he said, I won't say his name, so say, guess what he got? I said, what? He goes, he got his own bottle of Blanton. So it's not just a one-off thing. They have a connection there. Wow. So maybe I have to be really, really nice to Seth. And
yeah, see if you can get him a bottle.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
No, does it have to be, can it be half empty?
He would be totally fine with that. Yeah. No, I mean, because it was like the special reserve one.
Yeah,
that
it's just called pre-opened.
Pre-opened. Mm-hmm, it's okay. Mm-hmm. He would be totally fine with that. So they have it's a special reserve for Disney that the executives get to go pick their barrels and stuff.
Yeah.
And so the server was so nice. And he's like, well, you just missed it because last night we finished a bottle and we gave the empty bottle to the guy who ordered the last shot out of it. And so it's like, whoa, well, how low are you on this bottle? And
right.
He's like, well, we just opened it. And he's like, oh, I guess you're running the price on that. And he's like, so I won't be getting that bottle. And they're like, yeah, because he was just like, because that was so funny. He's like, so just out of curiosity, if I was to buy it, what would it, he's like, they absolutely fundamentally will not sell it to you.
Yeah.
Just won't sell it to you. Like you could, you just won't get it.
Yeah.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. Well, now you know.
Now
Kroger, Indianapolis, South Side.
Mm-hmm. Don't tell Seth that. Only if you're shipping it. And only half a bottle. I mean, he'd be fine with even this much less.
You know how much
taste.
I love Seth. So we'll see what magic.
We're going
We're going there this weekend.
Oh, my gosh.
To Indiana. I'm not getting a vacation. All I'm doing is driving back.
I have
to
never
Indiana.
Heard of this bourbon.
It's scarce and therefore it's highly in demand and therefore it's very expensive unless you get it at the Kroger store.
Which I've never heard of anybody
know,
getting at Kroger ever
funny.
In my entire life. So there was this one bar down on like in the panhandle of Florida, and they ended up getting an allotment of two. Now this was a couple of years ago, and they got an allotment of two and they made them into Jell-O shots.
Wow.
And they were never given a bottle again.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, why would you,
why would you do that?
Because you don't even understand. Yeah, that's ludicrous. It's just ludicrous.
No.
Yeah, because the bar owner was like, I don't think it's the best bourbon. It's just that it's rare. So people, like, whatever. And so, anyway, so that's what he chose to do with it. And anyways, needless to say, he has blacklisted off.
Yeah.
He's never gotten a bottle since. And
yeah.
Seth is like, that's a lie. It's amazing.
Yeah, I was going to say, then he doesn't understand bourbon because, yes, there's different. I do like bourbon. We have.
I do, too.
But I do mortgages for a living. I'm telling you what. It'll make
That's the reason.
Very less crazy person with a nice. And it has to be expensive enough that you're not just chugging it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I like whiskey too, Jack Daniels and stuff like that. But if it slows the pace down if it's really, really good. Yes, and Blanton is one of the favorite flavors.
Okay.
I have a lot of favorite flavors. So you come to my house.
Let's see, do you have a bourbon bar?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes.
To see that.
Yeah. And we just buy stuff a lot just to drive our friends.
My best friend's husband just got into buying bourbon. He didn't drink it a lot. He's bought it. He and his daughter's boyfriend. And so now he put shelves up in his office, glass shelves, and then he put lights up underneath it. And he's got all of the bottles. He will drive and drive. And he'll go off the way just to go find a new place to go look at and buy different bottles of bourbon. He's got.
It's really
pretty to look at.
Mm-hmm. Really sad that. People have now treated it like an investment property when they never drink it. They just hold it so it'll increase in value. Well,
Cindy's like, open the bottle.
Open the bottle. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that just made it.
I did that with Barbie.
Sad for the rest of us.
Oh, I know.
You could never like... open the Barbie and play with it. My kids hate me because I told Nora she could have it.
Left the Barbie in the box?
Yeah, I did. I gave them one to play with, and I bought one and left in the box.
That's hilarious.
That's like, our kids were the first kids that got Cabbage Patch dolls.
Yeah.
And we didn't know. I mean, literally, they were at Toys R Us or whatever, and we bought them. And of course the girls were playing with them, you know, and they're saying, oh, no, you're supposed to have them as a collectible.
Oh, please.
No, it's a doll.
Mm-hmm. And let's be honest. Like, I have an original set of Raggedy Ann and Andy's from my great-great aunt. They sit in my closet. What am I going to do with those things?
Well, and something is only, it is only as valuable as someone's willing to pay for it. And we learned that because my father collected old Coke bottles.
Hmm.
We had a shed full of them.
Wow.
We had a crawl space under the house that was huge, full of cases of old Coca-Cola bottles. It was his hobby. He would go dig them up. He had a blast at it. When he died, we tried to sell them all. It's only what somebody wants to pay for it. I think we sold everything for everything. My dad's hobby for the last 20 years of his life or more. I think $5,000. And that included the shed.
That's the shed too.
Mine included the shed.
I don't have that kind of time in my life. I don't have the capacity for that.
Oh no.
All right, that's it. We're done.
Okay.